Chofches Sivan, Thursday the 26th of June, Rabbi Tzvi Wanderer, Netilas Yadayim.
It seems that I've come at an opportune time to further discuss the halachos of Netilas Yadayim. I hope I'll be a match to the previous shir. Right, I wasn't here, so I couldn't know, but we'll try our best. Now, I thought I'd try and discuss some of the halachos of Netilas Yadayim, washing your hands, which we do. As Yidden, we tend to do that quite a lot, and there are two basic times when we wash our hands. We wash our hands in the morning, and we wash our hands before we eat bread, and there are some similarities between those two, some conflicting rules between washing negelbasser and washing for eating bread, and I'd like to try and demonstrate some of the similarities and the differences between them, and we see that in some ways they're remarkably similar. But in other ways, the washing that we do in the morning and the washing we do for bread are remarkably different. I'd just like to preface this by saying that what I say is not supposed to be the final halacha l'masa. So any further queries, to maybe ask them in the local posting. So maybe we should begin our investigation with the halachas pertaining to washing of the hands for bread, because they're really all the things we think about washing with a keli, an amount of water, and what sort of water. All these halakhas really are based on the Gemara in Chulin, which is associated with the washing for bread. Gemara in Chulin, Kufvov. Maybe we'll mention the source. I'm sure a lot of this people are familiar with. Just try and build up the background. What it says that the reason we wash our hands before we eat bread. Omer of Idi bar Avin, Omer of Yitzchok, Omer of Chulin, Kufvav. Omer of Idi bar Avin, Omer of Yitzchok bar Ashiyah, Netilas Yadayim l'chulin, Mipnei Srach Truma. Sure we're familiar with that. We wash our hands for Chulin, for regular bread that we eat, because of Srach. Srach means we're drawn after. A person may be drawn after Truma. Truma, at least Midrabbonon, a person is obliged to wash their hands before they eat it, because the hands are able to generate Tuma in Truma, which we don't eat nowadays anyway, but when Truma was eaten, B'Tahara, then Truma, the person had to wash their hands first. Chazal instituted, therefore, that any time when you eat bread, and they chose bread particularly because most of the Truma that we use is grain products, and most of the grain products are turned into bread, so they didn't use all the things that are under the umbrella of Truma, but they selected bread because that's the most common one. And they said that you have to wash your hands because if you didn't wash your hands when you ate chulin, then when you came to eat Truma, if you were someone who could eat Truma, then you would make the Truma tummy, which is an amazing thing. Therefore, that means that nowadays it's almost a tepisali Yeshua, that we don't have Truma in that sense. Yet, because we are hoping that everything will be reverted to how it should be, so every time we wash our hands before we eat bread, we're really recognizing that ultimately we're supposed to be eating Truma B'Tahara, and therefore, in order to avoid any danger of making that tummy, we even wash our hands for chulin, for non-Truma items, even nowadays. The Gemara also says that it gives another source from a pasuk. Rabbi Loz ben Arach said, "The pasuk talks about a zov who needs to toivel, and it says, "Here, Chazal have a source, the Netilas Yadayim in HaTorah, the source of Netilas Yadayim from the Torah, it's an asmachta, according to many opinions, Omalei, Rava, Rav Nachman, my mashma, Tichsib, Yodav, Leshot, Bamoim, it says he didn't wash his hands in water, and of course anyone who, without being a great expert on Taharas, would all be aware that a Zov, who requires to purify himself, does not get away with simply washing his hands. What does the Torah mean that if he touched something and he hadn't washed his hands? But washing his hands doesn't help us, though. He needs to go into a mikveh and tovel. So Gemara says, you have to read it differently. Hokikom of Acher, the first dead the Zov, and another person, i.e., someone who's about to eat bread, Shleshotaf, who didn't wash his hands, Tommy, he's Tommy. It's an interesting source, and therefore the source for washing hands, at least in Asmachta, a hint in the Torah, is learned out from the rules of the Tvila of a Zov. Now, trying to come on to some practical halachas of washing your hands. So, if a person ever finds themselves in Tveria, And he goes to the hot springs of Tveria, the Chamei Tveria. So they mentioned the Gemara over here in Kuchulin on the next daf. And the Gemara says that Chamei Tveria are unsuitable for washing Negel Vasa. Now, you might say, what's wrong with them? And if you were to say it, it's because hot water is not allowed, so you'd have to refer back to the Gemara earlier on, which said that you can wash in Chamin. You can use hot water to wash your hands. Actually, happens to us once. I was in a koilo, and some reason that someone hadn't paid the water bill, and there was no water coming through the taps. They had a big urn full of water. People wanted to wash their hands for eating bread, so the only water there was inside an urn, and at that point it was very hot. So we had to, besides burning ourselves, we had to get around the question as to whether you can use hot water for washing in Tiglath Pileser. And in fact, you can. Preferably not to Yad Seledes, but so Chamei Tveria, the hot springs of Tveria, are not possible because they're hot, according to many opinions. Some say it's because they're bitter. Rashi says that it is actually a problem of being hot, and the difference between Chamei Tveria and water in a kettle is that water in a kettle was originally cold. Whereas Chamei Tveria, according to Rashi, Chamei Tveria were always hot, they never were cold, and therefore in source they're hot water, and therefore you can't use them. But, says the Gemara, if you were to use Chamei Tveria, then it'd be a problem. Let's find the source. So here's an important rule. So Chizki said you can't wash your hands in them, but you can dip your hands in them. You can put your hands in like a mikveh, the Chamei Tveria are some sort of wellspring. You can put your hands into the water and that will do. And I think we're familiar with that you can wash your hands sometimes if you need to by dipping them into a river. And the Gemara in Chulin can't go into any great depth, but the Gemara says that many situations where you're not allowed to wash your hands, suddenly the water has changed its appearance, Chamei Tveria, a few other examples where you can't use the water for Netilas Yadayim, but you can use the water for Tvilas Yadayim. Water which is unsuitable for washing is suitable for dipping your hands in. So we begin to really see from this already, and I think it's if you look at the source from the Zov, if one thinks about the institution that Chazal made, when they told us you have to wash your hands, what they're really saying to us is that we have to somehow emulate the concept of mikveh. We have to, when we wash our hands, you have to do something which is akin, not the same as, because you don't have to go into a mikveh. You have to wash your hands, and it has to possess the features of a mikveh. And hence, if you do something even better than washing, you actually dip your hands into the water, then a lot of the rules that restrict you regarding washing your hands don't apply. So for example, if you dip your hands into a river, you don't have to dry them afterwards. Even though drying, we always brought up as a fundamental part of washing the hands, if you dip them into a river, and then you want to eat, maybe you can shake them off so it doesn't make the breads unpleasant, but there's no need, there's no mitzvah to dry the hands. When you dip them in, you have to do it only once, not twice, like we do when you wash your hands. Chamei Tveria are permitted if you toivel in them, but not permitted if you draw them out and pour them onto your hands. Seeing over here a concept that the washing of the hands is supposed to be similar to tvila, and if indeed you do tvila, then you're one rung up the ladder, you're one step better, you do even better. And it stands to reason, because after all, Chazal said that it's all based on the tahara and tuma that's linked with truma. Now, min haTorah, according to the Torah, the person who eats truma has to purify themselves in what? In a mikveh. There's no rule about washing your hands according to the Torah. There's a rule about mikveh. And if you're going to somehow extract a rule, a stringency in chulin from truma, then it has to have similarities to the rule of mikveh, and hence to the rule of truma, which is to do with mikveh. And therefore, we can say in a sense that you have to make a mini mikveh when you wash your hands.
If it's a higher level, so do you have a chance to do netilas yadayim or kol?
That's a good question, and it's certainly not a preference, but it seems to be at least equivalence. There's no worse, and in fact, some of the examples I brought, maybe I went over them too quickly, there's quite a few cases where we're actually more lenient with tevila, with dipping, than we are with washing. You don't have to dry your hands, you don't have to do it twice. It works for Chamei Tveria, it works for water that has been discoloured somewhat, which doesn't work when you wash your hands. All these things seem to be they're effective when you do tevila, and they're ineffective when you do netilah. Why? Because netilah itself is only a younger brother of tevila, of the main core concept of dipping. I call it, in a sense, a mini mikveh, that you have to, you have a cup, and maybe with this we can talk about the fact that you have to use a keli. You have to use a keli for washing your hands, in a tzilas yadayim. And we know there's a principle of kerch gavro. Maybe let's try and bring in some interesting halacha lemaaseh in that. So there's a rule that you have to use a vessel, and you have to be you have to cause the water to come onto your hands. You can't just pour out. So if a person hasn't got a cup, I think we're quite familiar that you can possibly, I say possibly, some argue, you might be able to use a tap. So you take the tap and you turn the tap on and off a few times, quite frequently, because there's only a certain amount in the tap. You turn the tap on and off, that can count like in the tilas yadayim. And the Sitz Eliezer, particularly, he's one of the most makel about this. He said you're allowed to do that, and they discuss whether the pipes leading the tap in, leading through the tap, are called a keli or not. Sitz Eliezer says that it might be better if you use a tap that is coming off a water tank, because then there's at least a keli at some point in the system. I don't know if one has to be particular about that, but and certainly you should use a keli, a regular vessel, in the first instance. I began to think then, what about using one of these taps where it's operated electronically? You put your hand in front, very common now, you put your hand in front of the sensor, and then the water comes out. So is that kerch gavro? So I wasn't sure about that. Having looked into it, I'm pretty convinced that it is, actually. Because let's talk about the kerch gavro, the principle of kerch gavro. Often we think that there's a rule that you have to have two things. You have to have a vessel, a keli, and you have to have kerch gavro. You have to have someone pouring the water onto your hands. But looking into it carefully, one really sees that the kerch gavro is itself an aspect of the keli, or the vessel. Meaning that kerch gavro by itself, human power won't help on its own. So for example, if you have a bucket of water, I can't take a handful and pour it onto my friend's hands, even though you've got a keli to start with and you've got kerch gavro. That doesn't work, because it's got to be the kerch gavro is a rule in the keli. The water from the keli needs to arrive upon your hands through your intervention. It's got to be you who cause the water to exit the keli and go onto your hands. And arguably, even if it's by electrical operation, but it's still you who caused it. You're not touching it, but you're causing it to happen. And I think this theme is again borne out by the idea of mikvah. Think about what's really going on over here. We're saying that you have a keli, and what is a keli? Why do you have to have a keli? Because any mikvah has to be a contained body of water. That's what a mikveh is. You have a body of water, and then you put a person into the body of water. So we haven't quite got that for washing our hands, for eating bread. What do we have? We have a mini keli. We have a mini mikveh. We have a mikveh in the keli. And you have to somehow link that to your hands. So the only way to link it is the kerch gavro, the human input, the force that brings the water from the keli onto your hands. That means that your hands are associated, they're as it were, they're in the keli, they're linked to the keli. The Gemara talks about nitzuch chibur, there's no mikvois, that there can be a connection between them, even if they're not touching. So it's the same theme, that we have a mikveh-based concept, where you're linking your mini mikveh to your hands, and that's how the Netilas Yadayim, at least for bread, is effective. There's another rule about, for if you have a limited water, that a person is allowed to share one small amount for a number of people. People go on, whatever, matzah rambles, and if you have any matzah left after you finish crushing into pieces on the walk, so then you find that 20 people have to wash their hands, and one person will bring one small cup of water. So there's a rule that if you keep the hands within certain proximity of each other, not going to say all the conditions now, but if the hands are kept close to each other, a lot of people, and you pour revius, or slightly more than revius, onto all of them, then even though each person doesn't get a revius, as long as there's a condition that each person has to get somewhat wet from it, you have to make the hands wet, they don't need to shear. So again, you see the same thing, that the notion of the Shulchan Aruch is you have water, revius, that comes mishiyure taharo, from the remnants, it's sourced in taharo, because it was a revius originally in the cup, and the revius came out, and it came to people from the cup. So you see again, it's not so much that the hands have to be made wet or cleaned up. It's that there's a tahara coming from the vessel onto the hands, and it can even be shared amongst many people as long as you have the source tahara over there. There are many other halakhas. I'm not sure how much we're going to get through today, but I did say my agenda was to try and compare this to Nagelwasser, and I think that if we begin to look at the halakhas brought down, or the Makoros brought down for for washing in the morning, begin to see that they're very sharply contrasted to a lot of what was being said, albeit quite briefly, regarding washing for breads. Now, the source for washing your hands in the morning, primarily two places in the Gemara and Brachos, and the first one is Daf Tesvov. So the Gemara says, quoting Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan, Erchotz ben a koyen kapai, I'll wash my hands in purity and cleanliness, and I will then encircle your mizbeach. So the Gemara says that's a source, so you have to wash your hands before you daven. And then the Gemara talks about there, if you have no water in front of you for 4 mil, or behind you for 1 mil, how far you need to go and traipse backwards or forwards to find the water to wash your hands. So that's one reference to washing your hands. It seems to be a concept of nikoyon, and in fact, the Gemara continues, if you haven't got any water, you should just wipe your hands, but offer in some sort of sand or dust to clean them off. And because the passage says, it doesn't say, erchatz b'mayim. It doesn't say you should wash it with water. It says, erchatz b'nekayin. You should clean them somehow with cleanliness. It doesn't say how you should cleanse them. So that's one reference. And the other one is on Daf Samach in Brachos. Now, everyone this morning said the brachas of Shnosan Asechem Vino, Matiyah Asurim, etc. So the Gemara says in Daf Samacham Beis, in brachas, amongst all the brachas that we say in the morning, Kishoma Kol Taran Negoila, when you hear the sound of the hen in the morning, Lema Baruch Hashem, Shnosan Asechem Vino, Lahavchim Ben Yom Ben Loila, Kiposach Einu, when you open your eyes, Lema Baruch Pekeach Ivrim, you say Baruch Pekeach Ivrim, and it continues to the whole list, and it says, Kimashi Yodim, when you wash your hands, you should say, Asher Kedishon, it says, Vitzvonu Al Netzilas Yodoyim. So it's actually very interesting that what we talk about Nagel Vasa, washing your hands in the morning, is really principally, mainly a halacha about washing your hands for davening. You have to have your hands up, you've been a koyim for davening. It's listed amongst the brachas that you do in the morning, the Seidah HaBrachas, the Birchas HaShachar, the system that Chazal set up for brachas in the morning. That's where, and actually I didn't read out all the Gemara, but it's very long, etc. So it's just inserted in the middle, somewhere slotted in the middle is Netzilas Yadoyim. And the Rishonim already say it, we don't actually operate that way. We don't make brachas each time we don't make brachas when we open our eyes and when we put our shoes on, etc. But that's really how Chazal set up the brachas, the system in the first place. And we now just do them in one fell swoop at the beginning of davening. But you certainly see that the theme of Netzilas Yadoyim, the source, or at least as much as I've told you of it, any other suggestions, but the source of washing your hands in the morning is primarily for tefillah. So much so that the Rosh in Brachos says that every time you daven, for Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, you have to wash your hands and say a bracha of Netzilas Yadoyim. That's the opinion of the Rosh, we don't do that. And the Rosh then asks, why do we say the bracha of Al Netzilas Yadoyim? It's such a question to him. He says that if the washing you do in the morning is just for cleanliness, it's for nekiyus, that's what he says, it's for cleanliness, for davening, so why does it share a common ground with the bracha for eating bread? So he says, interesting thing, and it's a Gemara elsewhere, Shabbos maybe, he said that the Gemara said refers to the keli, the vessel you use for Netzilas Yadoyim, it's called a Natzla. Interesting, now we know why we use the word Netzilas Yadoyim. It's called a Natzla. A vessel that they would set aside for washing your hands, it's called a Natzla. And he says, and since Chazal said you have to wash your hands for eating bread, and they made another rule, you have to wash your hands for the morning, so they made a common theme, and they gave it all one bracha. That's what the Rosh says. But really, they're essentially very different. And certainly most of the Rishonim say that the washing in the morning had absolutely no correlation or no similarity with the washing that we do for eating bread. And as a result, the basic halacha, the basic halacha is that you don't need to use a vessel, you don't need to dry the hands afterwards, you don't have to have a shear over a veer, so you don't need to use any particular volume. That's the basic halacha. I say basic because I don't want to be misleading. There's a Rashba, and we are, although the Rashba is not the main opinion, but we do our best to try and take into account the Rashba's opinion. Rashba says the following. Rashba says that he seems to think that the washing in the morning has to have all the trappings and all the rules of washing for a bread meal. He says they have to have a keli, you have to have a revius, you have to a certain amount of water, you have to dry the hands, all the rules that you have for eating bread apply to nagel basa. And he says, the Rashbam Teshuva Kuftari Aleph, he says, if in fact he can't argue with the Gemara. The Gemara said that it's all part of the system of davening. He says if the bracha if the washing in the morning is to do with it has similarities to washing for bread. So why only in the morning? He said he holds you only make a bracha in the morning on Siras Adoyim, not for Mincha Mariv. And he says it has the same rules as washing for bread. So he says why should that be? Why does it have the same rules? So he says a big chiddush, and we're probably somewhat familiar with it. So it was first night. He says that because when a person wakes up every morning, we're berech chadosha. You're a new creation. Each time you wake up, your neshama reverts to you, and the person was, half not alive. Partly his neshama was gone. And when he's rejuvenated each morning, he's a berech chadosha. And I think that's quite well known. That's why we're banding around that phrase. But what he said was not so well known. He said that because you're a new creation each morning, the person has to conduct himself in a way of showing praise to Hashem. So he has to wash his hands like the kohen who washes his hands from the kior. That's what he says. He has to wash your hands like the kohen who is mekadosh his hands from the kior. Because when a kohen washes his hands from the kior, he is then about to serve Hashem, about to do the avodah beis hamikdash. So we too, when we're given the opportunity to be rejuvenated, we now say Hashem, thank you so much for this opportunity to start afresh each morning. So therefore, you wash your hands in that fashion. And since there it was from the kior, and the kior was somewhat like a mikveh, and it had certain rules of how you have to wash, so too in the morning you have to wash in a similar fashion.
Without
it's not a keli?
No, it is without keli.
Right, so that's the chiddush of it. So the kior itself was a keli. And the Achron discussed at length, something which I should have mentioned earlier when we spoke about washing from a tap. So I said that it's not so straightforward that you can use a tap to wash from. Okay. Using a tap to wash from an urn is unanimous. That's in the Shulchan Aruch. You have an urn, you put your hands on, make sure it's cold first, and you wash your hands on the tap on that sort of tap where the water has been collected inside a vessel. That's certainly fine. And they discuss at length whether the tap of the urn is similar to the tap of the kiyor. That's a very good point, right? So the kiyor itself is a keli. So I beg your indulgence because we're running very short of time. Just trying. So, just want to try as much as I can bring out this point over here about the Rashba. So, in short, the Rashba says that you have to wash in the morning like you wash for bread. As a consequence, the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch says that toiv lahakpid, it's good to be careful. The words of the Shulchan Aruch, it's good. I was probably mentioning this morning, or am I right? You mentioned this? Yeah, so he says it's good to be careful to wash your hands in the morning like you do for a meal. It's good to use a revius, good to use a vessel, good to dry your hands. It doesn't say you have to, and it's understood because he's a das yechido, he's an individual. The Rashba's opinion is a sole opinion. He says that there's rules about nagel vasa that have similarities to rules about washing for bread. But if you can't do it, then certainly you just put your hands under the tap in the morning, you're in a hotel, you haven't got a keli, so certainly at least, besides the Ruach Rav, which I already see we're not going to have time to discuss it, but except for washing your hands for davening, you're fine just to wash with a bit of water, and that's absolutely acceptable, according to most opinions. We're choishish, we're concerned for the Rashba, and therefore we try our best to use a keli and to use a revius, etc. So, we'd like to try and bring out the argument between the Rashba and the Rosh a bit further, because the question really struck me is why where does the Rashba get this from? That we see the Gemara said you have to wash your hands with a bit of water in the morning, okay, you just splash some water on, it's fine. Where does he get this from that it has to be the same as washing for bread? And he makes up some notion that because it's going to be like the kiyor, there's no makaris, there's no source to that. So he himself brings a source in the Teshuvah. He says the following, he says that the Gemara in Chulin, Gemara says that a person can do the following. If you're short of water, you can wash your hands in the morning, you can wash your hands in the morning, and you can be careful to not make them tummy the whole day, and then you can eat breads throughout the day based on that washing in the morning. So says the Rashba, you see from there quite clearly, so washing your hands in the morning, and it's telling you that that's going to work for the whole day. What do you need to do during the whole day? To eat bread. It's like, we're talking about washing for bread. Mm-hmm. So says the Rashba, you see quite clearly that the washing in the morning has to have the same concept as washing for bread. Because if the morning washing was simply a matter of splashing some water on your hands, and that would do to make your hands clean for davening, then how on earth can that work for davening? And even if you did wash your hands with two times with a cup in the morning, but if it's nothing to do with, as we described, if it's nothing to do with mikvah, and the morning washing is just the washing for nikias, and the washing for bread is just to do with tahara, so how could one work for the other? So the Rashba, it must be that the washing in the morning shares similarity. That's its source, that it shares all the rules of washing for eating bread. Says the Rambam on the same halacha about washing your hands for the water. I'd like to, for the last minutes, really ask you to be sharp about the words of the Rambam, and you can see the difference. He also says the noyel otam yodav shachar, the person who washes his hands in the morning, or masna aleim, and make a condition about the lechol hayom. Listen to the following words: ve'eino tzorich lishol yodav. He doesn't have to wash his hands lechol achila v'achila. You do not need to wash your hands every time you eat. You can wash it in the morning, but ain't a sort of little yodov. You don't need to wash your hands. L'chol achila v'achila. What's the obvious deal in that? The implication is that he's talking about washing your hands in the morning for eating breads. He's talking about, he says, you can wash them in the morning, and you need not wash them every time you eat. But you hadn't washed them when you ate in the first place. No, because he understands, not like the Rashba, you weren't washing them in order to daven in the morning. You washed them because you wanted to eat some bread in the morning. And that will work continually throughout the day to keep you going. And that's clearly what the Rosh understands as well. And all the other opinions who argue on the Rashba, they say that there's no rule about washing in the morning that can work for the rest of the day. The morning washing is for davening. It has no associate, no bearing on the washing for a bread meal, but according to the Rashba, they have a similarity, and as we spoke about, the concept of washing for bread is a mikveh-based concept, where really you're taking a keli, which is your mini mikveh, and you're pouring it onto your hands, and that's, according to almost all opinions, totally disassociated and unconnected to the washing you do in the morning for Negel Vasa. I apologize for having shortchanged you, because I haven't even mentioned Ruach Ra at all, and how that comes into the picture. And so Rabbi Yonke will have to bring that up another morning. But certainly, bottom line is, you do have to wash your hands with a cup of three times in the morning for Ruach Ra, but more to be discussed another time if opportunity arises.